Okay, so we're up to part two of Your Innocent Knife. First of all, just a few more facts. I was reviewing a few details, and Rabbi Yonasan Eifshitz definitely had trials and tribulations. We know of him as God Ladar, Eloi, a tremendous genius, and definitely had wide acclaim, and was, you know, remembered for all generations, till this day. Rabbi Yonasan Eifshitz was someone who had much, much tribulations. He lost his mother when he was a young child. By the time he was 12, he lost his father. We have a Yosem Min Ha'av Min Ha'Aim. That was his childhood. So he then quickly shipped off to learn by none other than the Panim Meiris. That's when he learned by the Panim Meiris, when he was 12. Yeah? He was there for 3 years until his chasana. Yeah? Do the math? Yeah. You're on the ball. So he was there from 12 until 3 years later, till his chasana, and then he gets married at 15. Okay? So I don't know. I would love to tell you that, yeah, this is where we're holding. He was born in the late 16, in about 1690. Please, is that the norm? Yeah. Okay, check it out. Fine. So that's I don't know the norms, and he actually refers to one of his father-in-law with great esteem and acclaim, because his father-in-law, he says, is like my father. He supported me. He took care of me, and it's not just like nice. Sweet talking. He really didn't have a family. He had nothing. And who was his father-in-law? His father-in-law. I only recall his grandfather-in-law. His grandfather-in-law was Revelvel Shapira was the father of Rebelio Shapira. Rebelio Shapira was the Baal Elia Rabba. Yeah. Which means that Elia Rabba was Rabbi Yonasan Eifshitz's uncle through marriage. Yeah? Who was another brother-in-law, son-in-law of Revel Shapiro? Rabbi Yaakov Reischer. Rabbi Yaakov Reischer was the Teres HaShlamim. Rabbi Yaakov Reischer was he wrote so many Sfarim, right? Iyun Yaakov on Ein Yaakov, right? He also was the Choyk Yaakov. The Shvus Yaakov. Thank you. Shvus Yaakov, Teres HaShlamim, Ian Yaakov. He was Rabbi Yaakov Reischer, who was brothers-in-law with the Eli Rabba, the third brother-in-law of Reb Shapira, thank you, is Reb David Oppenheim. Reb David Oppenheim was the Rav of Prague. So these are all his uncles. And as we mentioned last week, his grandfather, his father's name was Nasanata, who was a anacle of the Megala Mukais. Rabbi Yonasan Eifshitz actually wrote that it's chaval, I didn't get enough chance to live enough years with my father, because he had b'mesoira, sisrei Torah, al pi Kabbalah, from the Heilig Zayda, the Megala Mukis. Okay? And chaval, I missed out. I didn't get enough years with my father to be able to glean all those secrets. So he had definitely lots and lots of yichus. Another Eifshitz of fame, there's many, it's the great nephew, yeah? The Maral Tzintz. Maral Tzintz, the one who wrote Tivgitin and so many Svarim. You see, what was his name? His name was Eifshitz. He switched it back to Tzintz, who was the Rabbi Yonasan Eifshitz's mother. Her maiden name was Tzintz. His grandfather was a huge gadol. He had lots and lots of yichus, and they claim he didn't ever mention any of his yichus. He forged his own path. Now, one more detail, just a fun fact. I never knew where this whole the Rebbe Reb. Anyone know what I'm referring to? There are a few yidden in history that ever get such a title. The Rebbe Reb. Yeah? Who else? Okay, this is, if anyone never heard this before, the Rebbe Reb Yonasan. Yeah, that's how many refer to him. Definitely in Heimish circles. Definitely in Heimish circles. The Rebbe Reb. Yeah, I had a chavrusa from Antwerp, And the Rebbe of Yonason, it was a big deal. Now, who else had got it? Reb Heschel, Rebbe Reb Heschel, Rebbe Chanukas HaTorah, the Shach's Rebbe, was also the Rebbe Reb Heschel. So now, I don't know the connotation of the Rebbe Reb, and you know, it definitely is cool. I would love to be the third one in history, but like, who decides who gets to be a Rebbe Reb, and what does it even mean? But I just heard someone talking about Reb Yonason Eibshitz, and he said, a shmua, now I cannot verify this, I'll try to look it up, and anyone who wants to do their own searches, please feel free. They say the B'nai Soschar actually was the one who instituted that Reb Yonason Eibshitz was such a goyin, such a gadol, that he shouldn't be just Reb Yonason Eibshitz. He's the Rebbe Reb Yonason Eibshitz. Because he's Malame Torah Leklal Yisrael. Okay, so that's just a few fun facts, some fillers that we didn't really touch upon last week about Reb Yonason Eibshitz. So then, he gets married at 15. He's already invited to be the Darshan, which I always found so fascinating. We view darshan as a verb. Darshan is to darshan, right? In old times, it was a title. The darshan. Yeah, it's like in Yiddish, someone who's fabulously wealthy, he is an oisher. Oisher is wealth, right? That's how we refer to oisher. Er is given an oisher. Er is an oisher. He is a wealthy man. So, just... linguistically, well, what's it? Yeah. It's not the verb. It's the yes. So he became the Darshan of Prague at 20 years old, and again, this is his journey towards godless. Because a few years later, by 25, he was the Rashiva in Prague, and then Rav David Oppenheim, who's his uncle, parenthetically, dies, and they ask him to be the Rav. So now, and now Prague is the Ir Ve'im B'Yisrael. It's one of the greatest, you know, metropolises of Torah, right up there with Metz, right? Right up there with Frankfurt, right up there with Frankfurt had so many gedolim, especially in the coming years. The coming years after the 1700s, right? We're even before Nassim Adler, we're even before the Bnei Yeshua goes to Frankfurt. We're before, right? The Hafla moves into Frankfurt. So, this is another one of these big, big metropolises of Torah, Lublin, Varsha, and he becomes the Rav, and he's eventually asked to come take over the Bnei Yeshua spot, as we mentioned last week, in Metz, because the Bnei Yeshua was asked to come be the Rav in Frankfurt. So, he ends up going to Metz, and while he's in Metz is when the storyline from last week began, but the controversy only happens about these amulets and what was in them only erupts while he's in Altoona, Hamburg, and Wandsbek. He was the Rav of the Gimel Kehilas, which was the Chacham Tzvi's position. His Chacham Tzvi's son, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, did not Yarshan in that position. He was a Balabas. He was a Balabas who knew Kol HaTorah Kula and a fabulous, fabulous author, Mechaber Sfarim, on every single topic. And his social status when he was in that community was a balabas. He was a Rav in Emden for 3 years, and that was the extent of his rabbinical career. And he writes himself in Megillah Sefer that he you know, being a rabbi is the percentages don't work out, right? Because half of it's to Paskin, three quarters of it is to do Jewish geography, 90% is to be a politician, right? So it doesn't add up, the percentages, but Rabbi Yaakov Emden clearly was not a politician. And he was a straight shooter, as straight as they come, and he said exactly what he wanted, when he wanted, how he wanted, and yeah, he left Emden pretty fast, and he eventually went after many, many Shabtai Tzvi followers. Now, I heard a very bold statement. I actually recently heard from your buddy from Kew Gardens Hills, Professor Lyman, who said, again, he said, if one person can take as much credit, or the bulk, or a huge majority of credit for eradicating Shabtai Tzvi off the map as we know it, Rav Emden gets more than 50, 60, 70, he gets most of the credit. Because if not for his fire brand and hardline stance, they would not have been able to eradicate and search out and sniff out all these people. And they had followers, they had people going and trying to recruit, they had their own witnesses trying to go and, invite you to a Tisha B'Av party, make Kiddush. I think they made Kiddush, right? They made Kiddush by Tisha B'Av night and fressed and to ache their heart's delight because it's a Yontif Mashiach came. So that was while he was in, when did this whole machlokes erupt? The whole machlokes really erupted while he was the Rav in Altoona, which again, Altoona, Hamburg, Wandsbek is a very, very large community. The biggest raya is if they're able to bring in the big time Rabbanim, it's a established community both in stature and in guilt. They obviously had the means to bring in such a Rav. So they go and they bring him in, and this is where Rabbi Yaakov Emden is brought. Again, I don't know these facts. So you read Dunner's book, and it's not very clear exactly how he got the first amulet. Did he know it was written by Björnson Eifschitz when he looked at it prior, or it was really objective and he looked at it and said, whoever wrote this is a Shabtai Tzvi follower, or he knew this is from Björnson Eifschitz and then said, this is a Shabtai Tzvi written all over it? Don't know. The problem is like this. I've heard many people speak about this topic, and people take a very strong stance. The person we mentioned last week, Rabbi Leopold Greenwald, right? So the rabbi in Columbus from Puppe, a Greenwald, real Puppe Yichus, and he definitely dabbled in academics and as well was a very prolific historical writer. He has great, great books. And he goes on a rampage in the beginning of, he wrote two books on this topic, Beis Yehoinasan and I don't recall the other one. You can look it up. Greenwald. You can see Yehuda Greenwald. So, he wrote two books on the topic, and in one of the books, he goes and he says how, some historians just, I never know how to say his name. Gratz. So, he has a lot to say about certain historians who just followed the party line of Rabbi Yaakov Emden and didn't really look into it. And the problem is, what do you mean? Rabbi Yonasan Eifschitz is Niskabel and Bechol Tfusei Sa'aretz. Everyone learns his Torah. Klal Yisrael doesn't just follow blindly. Why didn't they go and eradicate him? Now, this is the problem I have with this whole subject. Is it's very, very hard to take a stance because you would really have to revisit and be well-versed in Kabbalah to take a stand. Because anything we're going to go and opine to try to figure out what's going on is going to be based on the people who saw the amulet and people who witnessed and are acquainted enough with Shabtai Tzvi references to even know of the references supposedly in these amulets.
Is there anyone who has?
I don't know. I don't know the answer. Did Rabbi Yaakov Emden record or does anyone copy? They would have to copy it over, right? This is well before photography, so they would have to copy the actual amulets. I don't know. That's a fascinating point. Not that I recall. I don't recall any pictures in the book.
I remember Harvey lectured on this. He wrote on the blackboard things that were in the
book. Again, so that's the problem. I wouldn't feel comfortable or confident enough in enough Sabbatean Kabbalah paired with how amulets are supposed to be written to realize how this one is different to thereby glean and deduce that this is something wrong. That's why, whoever takes a stand with, such confidence, they have to just know this is the outline of the prerequisites to know and actually take a stand. You could say that, the proofs, those peripheral proofs of, what do you mean, Klal Yisrael still learns his Torah, what do you mean, was there any ill will, was there any, again, these are hard things to talk about Gedolim, but there definitely, something happened and something, right, and is there any merit in even revisiting it? Okay, there's definitely, what do you do when you fear that someone is a potential danger? Now, as was mentioned last week, this was not the same level of danger as Shabtai Tzvi himself, right? This is definitely steps and steps removed. He is potentially a believer. That was the claim. Potentially a believer. Now, the irony of the story, which again, is not a proof, it's not a raya muchrachas, is that they had a scenario where there was one of the recruiters for Shaftei Tzvi. His name was Kamener. Moshe Kamener came to Prague. And spreading these words of, you know, there is a Mashiach, and we have a whole group, and come join us, and regular recruiting for Shaftei Tzvi mission. And many Rabbanim sniffed him out, caught him, and put him in Cheir. One of the Rabbanim who did that, in the Beis HaKnesses HaGadol, with the Aron Kodesh open, publicly declaring this Cheirim, was Rabbi Yonason Eifshitz. So, obviously, that's not a raya. That could be just masking, right? So there's no end. We could bring countless stories, and none of them are going to be definitive to go and tell you one way or the other. And, you know, one of the takeaways that I definitely see is that this is a real teiku. There's no clear, because in Klal Yisrael, throughout all the generations, when someone gets smeared, either way, in either direction, generally speaking, his Torah will be dropped. That's one of the most convincing proofs that I've seen. The Torah generally is dropped. And you have an author who, whatever happens to him, so then there's all the discussion, what do you do with his works? And here, they both went through the ringer. Because the defenders of the Rav of Shtot, there's a person who is not the rabbi, not the rabbinic finger, literally not just attacking, smearing the Rav of one of the biggest kahilas in the world, Rabbi Yonason Eifshitz, and his followers are defending him at all costs. And that's how it got so big, and it made it to the emperor of the Austrian Empire, who had to be convinced by Karl, what was his name? Anton. Karl Anton used to be a former Talmud of Rabbi Yonason Eifshitz. What's the take-home? Take-home is that this is definitely not a sugya that is easily deciphered. And there was definitely an element of L'shem Shemayim to try to save people from Michshol. There were certain parts which are definitely not so pretty and are harder to explain and put in a L'shem Shemayim light. Nevertheless, there definitely were two gedolim. And the beauty of it is that everyone in Klal Yisrael learns both of their Torah. So with that, I leave you with a teiku, and we'll continue next week with Rabbi Yaakov Emden, and I have nothing more to add, and we'll have to go back to Pnei Yeshua on the Panamiyos. Also, have one.